Hey guys, this is Ty Abrams here, and I nominate Charisma J for the Uplifters podcast because she is a dynamic, bold, inspirational, and charismatic leader. She's done so much amazing work with her company, Abundance Academy, and I know that you guys are going to be in for a treat when you get to meet her.
Welcome to the Uplifters podcast, where every week we talk to women who are doing big, brave things in the world. I'm your host, Aranza Savas, and I'm a little bit giddy right now because I'm actually recording this intro just after re-listening to the episode you're about to hear. Today, I get to introduce you to Charisma J. This episode is so freaking good, and it feels so right on time for this moment. I think so many of us are feeling short on resources right now. Like our actual bank accounts maybe are low, or maybe just our hope is running low, or maybe that courage capital account that we keep talking about is kind of hitting rock bottom. So if that's you today, I really hope this episode feels like medicine. So a little about Charisma, she is a true multi-hyphenate, an award-winning performing artist, a dancer, an actress, a filmmaker, a director, a wellness coach, a teacher, an entrepreneur, and of course, the founder of the 12-year-old nonprofit Abundance. She's performed on Broadway, been featured in the New York Times, taught at Juilliard, and somehow still finds time to mentor the next generation of young artists. She's been really successful. But that doesn't mean that everything has come easy. And what she's going to talk to us about today is the power of perspective, how we can ask ourselves what we have in our luggage right now instead of focusing on what we don't have right now. I'm going to listen to this episode again and again and again. I just know. And I'm going to talk about it with my mother and my daughters and my friends because it is so jam-packed with practical wisdom about how we take these tough times right now and turn them into something that is for us, not working against us. Okay, let's get into it. Charisma, welcome to the Uplifters podcast.
Thank you for having me. How exciting. How uplifting.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for being here. Just reading your bio is pretty freaking uplifting because what it says to me is that we do not have to confine ourselves to a single path. We can express ourselves on many different roads, and you're shaking your head. Tell me what that's meant and looked like in your life.
You know, it's so funny. I used to resent the jack of all trades comment because I was just like, why do people keep? And then I heard the end and I'm like, there it is. It's the fulfillment of mastery, right? It's the going after all the non-linear parts of ourselves because no one is monolithic. We are so many things. Even in one single conversation, there's nuance, right? There's no one way to say something. There's no one way to be. There's no one way to dress. Even if you just decided, you know what? This year, I want my closet to just be filled with black. There's so many variations of black. You know, it's like everyone wear your best black. And it's like, well, that's a gray black. And that's a black black. And that's actually a hint of orange black. And that, you know, there are so many undertones. So in terms of me and the word multi-hyphenate, it's really encompassing of all the commas I have, all the versions of me. It allows me to keep evolving and growing. I get to express myself in so many different ways. And I'm just really humbled that the world receives me in that way because we've kind of arrived to that. Whereas, you know, like when my mom or my grandma were, they were being raised, it was like you had to do this one thing. And even my mom now, she has inspired me so much because on any given day, she's either doing a yoga headstand, she's on Martha's Vineyard fishing for the first time, catching all the fish on the boat, telling others how to catch fish. I'm like, you don't even fish, lady. You know, it's like you get to be who you want to be as you be it.
Yes. And it's only limited by your own interest and passion and willingness to learn.
Correct.
That said, I think for all of us who have lived on lots of roads,
right,
we can look back and see some through lines.
Yeah.
What do you see when you step back and look at what connects your paths?
Erykah Badu has this quote, and it's, I'm an artist and I'm sensitive about my ish. And I feel so connected to, like, I'll never forget when she said it. I think it was like a sound bite from a concert. And it was like, I might have been 9 or something. And I'm like, oh my God, I feel so seen. Because the through line for me really is artistry. There's an art to the way I tie my shoe. There's an art to the glasses we choose, right? There's an art to my size earrings or what I decide to put on my lip. Like, I like to express myself in all these different ways because I'm an artist, and I am grateful that I've been allowed to be an artist from the very beginning. I have been allowed to truly have a voice. So the story goes that my mom, when I was in her womb, tried out different names, and Charisma was the name that I responded to. It was the only name that I responded to. And I responded by dancing. So I would stretch my leg out and like flex it really hard or push my elbow out or like do things that really just let her know, oh my God, this girl is listening. This girl has making a choice. And shout out to my mom for surrendering that control to actively listen to me respond in a nonverbal way about who I am. That's really the through line for me. It's that I get to be who I am. I am an artist through and through. I respond to the call, whatever the call is, from whomever it's calling me. And the fact that I have a community who then responds unconditionally, listens to me, receives me. That's how I am able to do all the things I'm doing.
Are you ever afraid to express yourself?
Are you kidding me? Absolutely.
Thank you for saying yes, because I'm glad I'm not alone.
The trickiest part is like knowing what you know and still being scared anyway, right? So it's like, I can coach anyone through a hard time. And the hardest thing I've had to do in my life, I would say, is coach myself. Because I'm like, I know, you know, I teach it, I coach it, I study it, I do all this, like, I know it. And yet, we're human. And yet, that noise can seep in and take over. I would say the most recent fear for me, aside from just like the world ending, I feel like I've had to juggle the awareness and consciousness that I have around what I know and let myself, give myself grace to feel what I feel. And then balance the fact that my feelings can be fleeting because they are just feelings. So what do I need to do? Where do I need to go? Who do I need to be around so that my feelings don't stay in that dark place? So my feelings, you know, like, it's almost like I need everything around me to give me back. And that I've been working on. So when I'm in my happy-go-lucky pink cute glasses on my fro is froing today, excited moment, I really work to make sure that I reinforce my happy places and my happy folks and my, you know, so that when I need, because it will come, it always comes, when I need me back, they actually give me back when I can't give me to myself.
Mm-hmm. So it's like pouring into it when you have it available to give.
Yeah. And that's the thing that I think we, as a, just a tool, need to utilize more often. It's like, okay, if you know you're going to need sunscreen the next time you travel, it's almost like you buy it on the vacation you're on and put it in your bag already. So that in the suitcase, it's like, oh, shoot, you know, it's the last minute and life, and I didn't get to pack what I want. It's packed already. Oh, my God, thank God. I've been operating like that, even because with all these commas after my name, I have a million things going on, and I forget those things. You know, and I'm like, at the gift shop, like, how much are you charging for this? I spent all my money on this luxury vacation, and now I have to buy $19 million sunscreen, you know, all the things, right? And with that, I'm like, if I, or as I prepare for myself, as I show up for myself before I'm masked, I am ready for when it's there mm-hmm. in front of me. That's what I've been working on very hard.
Mm-hmm. And what does that work look like? Can you give us some examples?
Sometimes it just looks like cleaning. I've been all over the place. I've toured. I've lived more of my life out of suitcases, traveling the world than I have been at home, right? I used to like be outside, and recently I'm like taking like real stock in terms of I like home, you know, like I like, and what do I like at home? I didn't know. So I needed to ask myself, well, what do you like when you come back from a trip, when you're on tour for all these months? Like what, you know, recreating and creating me mm-hmm. and getting to know me, sitting with myself, asking myself what, you know, what do I want to explore today? Or how do I want my house to feel? Does it work when my bed's not made when I come back home? No, I like the pullback. I like the turn down service in my house too, right? Asking myself.
And I can give that to myself.
I can give that to myself. Like, what can I give to myself? And it's really, it's a lot of work because I have not always been this structured or this organized or this, right? So I'm like, I don't like tripping over my shoes. Mm-hmm. So let me put them away the time before. Again, I am not an expert yet. However, I'm learning what I don't like and what I do like. And I am giving that stuff to myself. Even as it pertains to relationships, when it, jobs, gigs, people, just, I'm like, oh, so that is what I like, you know? Mm-hmm. And that work is, it's rooted in therapy. It's rooted in books. It's rooted in journaling. Like I say all the time, like I've done The Artist's Way several times. And it's a book by Julia Cameron. It's like my artist Bible. It's not like, it is my artist Bible. It doesn't matter at what point in my life that I pick it up. It's so on brand. It's crazy. It's like, is she listening? Is she watching? And one of the things that I did more recently is I did it with like a vehemence because I noticed that in all these other areas of my life, I'm able to show up when it's showing up for other people, showing up for other things. But when it comes to me, I felt like I had been letting myself down and letting myself off the hook in certain areas, not in all areas. Just there's certain areas where I'm like, well, if you can be whole and show up this way successfully here, it's the same you. So how can we, you know, take that discipline across all disciplines? How can we take, you know? And so the last time I just finished it at the beginning of this year, The Artist's Way, and I did it with such a commitment, like I was marrying myself. I am doing this as if I'm coaching myself, as if I am holding myself to the same accountability that I would if someone else asked that of me. So that's the work.
I love that. I talk about that as showing up for myself with integrity.
That's the piece. And that's my favorite word ever. Even as it applies to just like dance, I tell my students all the time, like if you mean for your knee to be straight and your développé, then there's no bend. Like it has to be straight, right? If you go to partner for a lift, there's no buckling, no. You are going to get this lift to work. And what do you need to do to get this to work? It's really that athletic approach that is input and output. It's the chemistry of it all, right? You pour these two, you know, NaCl, you have some Na, you have some Cl, right? You have to get your sodium, your chloride, you pour it together so that you create this outcome. And I've been working really hard on my outcomes and with grace and space, but still with diligence and integrity, like you said.
And it sounds like really figuring out what that precise recipe is. And I think of that as context in a lot of cases, right? Like in what context do I act like an adult for myself? In what context?
No, literally. Right. In what context? Because also to your point, it's like, okay, it's time for fun. All right, put the fun hat on, honey. Like, you know, today was rest day and I kept finding things to do. I said, remember what we said? Like, there's a time and space for this. Like, we said today is rest day. So that's it.
Yeah.
That's what integrity is. It's rest is rest.
It's honoring yourself.
That's it.
Well, and there's this other through line emerging for me very intentionally in your stories, and that even from the way you from inside the womb chose your name, it yes. was, this is what she responds to. This is what she likes. And so there is this self-discovery, it seems like, happening constantly for you of going, what do I like? What does feel good to me? What do I want more of and less of? And letting those very personal insights lead your choices. Is that how you choose professionally which roads to go down, or artistically which roads to go down?
I choose everything that way. It has become so automatic. I don't have control over it. It is. And that's what I had to lean into. I had to start to surrender to the it is part of me. Because like I was saying to my mom, like all last year, I'm like, Mom, you taught me that what is will be. There is no way. I mean, I've literally seen mountains move out of nowhere. Like my life, it's like where there was no way. I've seen miracles, things that don't make sense for the normal, tangible. No. It's genuinely like it was supposed to be. And when it is not, it just isn't. I've literally seen both examples time and time again. So for me, I've been doing like this little dance lately of just like letting be, because I just know like I can lean into trust more, which is more fun for me. It used to be very scary because I didn't have trust. I was trying to force it. I was trying to make it work. I was faking it. I remember one time this woman said to me, oh, we can just rework it. And I'm like, you can't rework what is, right? Like, it just is.
It is.
So I'm like, no, you trying to manipulate this thing to make it something and brush the dust off of it. No, it's dirty. It's dirt. Mm-hmm. That's it. Like, you know, the grim, the dust, that film, it's on it. There's no mm-hmm. way to strip that away. So for me, I'm just grateful for this new space of just like, quiet. I'm just quiet. I'm like, okay, it's going to work. How it's going to work? Like, it's going to be revealed. I don't have to do nothing. I can just be, and it comes true to its being in front of me.
And then what do you say to yourself when it doesn't come to be?
Okay.
And you're trying to let go.
Okay. There is a way that I just let myself say, okay, because I've seen so many receipts on this. Like, I'm telling you, I just keep playing back over and over again. And let's be clear, there's that broken record, that toxic noise, that censoring, that trauma, like those things, we have to decipher between that, right? Because if I play that over and over again, then that will be a self-fulfilling prophecy as well. I have been committed to playing the miracles over and over again, the moments that reassured my faith when I couldn't see. I play that so often. I mean, to the point where even right now, as an artist, I'm going to be straight up. There's no money. I've never been negative that way. I've always been abundant. Right. I've always been in a place of like supreme positivity. And this year specifically, I have seen negatives so many times in my bank account. I've seen like moving things around and all right, we'll get it to a dollar. You know, it's like, I'm serious. It's not a joke right now in artistry and entrepreneurship and just all of it, the world, right? Eggs are $12, like things, life is lifing. And I have had moments where I'm like, ooh, you're getting into like a negative space. What can you do? What are some tools? Again, what can I lean on? What's in my luggage that I can go back to, right? And I'm like, let me go back in my luggage and get my journal. And I just write out a million times over the same thing. Even if that's all I write, that is me remembering the miracle, you know, like bringing the miracle forward of what is possible, even in the midst of what seems like impossibility. Mm-hmm. So it's that constant reminder of possibility.
It's looking for that evidence in the past too. The past taught you that what was not for you was not worth chasing. And the past taught you that miracles Correct. Can happen and beautiful things can come out Absolutely. Of like the driest ground. The other thing I hear in what you're saying that I think is really brilliant and repeatable for all of us is this question you ask yourself of what do you have in your luggage?
Yeah, we have.
Right, because there are resources in short supply.
Yeah.
But what resources do you have?
Yeah, we have. We have. Like, we absolutely, and that's the thing that I would say is kind of my amniotic fluid, is that we have. Like, I have always had, even when I didn't have. I grew up a single parent household. I remember us sitting by candlelight eating and doing homework because my mom didn't have money for the rent or the electricity bill. Like, I remember, you know, my family came from another country. They were immigrants. They scrubbed floors. They like saved children, other people's children to just like make it happen. Right. And I still have seen some of the most beautiful resilience in my life. I've seen there still be joy when a Celia Cruz song comes on, or, you know, like we all just like come together. It's like in the midst of all of that, there was still, I still, right? I have still. So I've just been, I've been really, really blessed, I would say, to have that balance, because I know it can go a whole nother way. You look at some of the things going on in the world right now, and it's like, it does not look good. It looks bleak. It looks dark. It looks like terror, right? And I really am grateful that I've been able to balance with the good, find the good.
Yeah, and I think that's it. It's finding the good. And because both are happening in all of our lives all the time. And it's not
all the time
fake positivity.
No, it's very real.
Yeah.
Because it exists.
Yeah.
It exists. I mean, you could be sitting in like a war zone and then a rainbow comes out. You know, like you can, there can be all kinds of like dark moments in our lives and then a blessing comes through. Or somehow we made it through another month, or, you know, another year, another 10 years. So I genuinely believe that there is still good and we just have to find it. And so long as we're going after it, we're seeking it out, I feel that the universe, God, the ancestors, everybody just like conspires to keep fueling us in that pursuit.
And it's constantly a question of what's right for right now.
Ooh, that's good. Yeah. Because it's going to change.
It's going to change. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you've been an educator for decades.
Yeah. I started at 9 assisting teaching in my local dance school. And then the director saw kind of how I, well, if you ask some of my elders, they say that I was teaching them on the sidelines of my mom's dance classes that she would take. Because I would like pick up the step and then see you struggling and like go behind you and help you do it or what have you. When I was like 5, 4 or 5, if I got the step, I'm going to like help. So there's always been that nurturing spirit and that kind of like motherly, got to like take everybody with me energy. But I got my first official class when I was 10 years old and I've been teaching ever since. I'll never forget, I was on a panel and the lady described me as a dance teacher and I was so upset. And my mom was like, but you teach dance. I'm like, that's not all I do, Mom. That's not all I do. Dance has been my foundation. Dance is kind of what brought me into this world and it's probably going to take me out. Dance is where I start. Teaching is what I can do, but it's not all of who I am. I do notice, though, when you speak of through lines, all of the work I make does have an educational and entertainment component to it. There's always some level of enlightenment. And that's just based on my own yearning because I genuinely love to learn. I love to grow. I'm always looking for more ways to grow. And so my work really is connected to that.
I think that's true for most of us. When people feel flat and uninspired, or lost, or stuck, it's almost always because they're not learning. And I'm kind
that's
of a believer, right? Like, I'm kind of a believer that, like, we don't even have to, like, learn anything useful. Learning anything can reawaken us.
That is incredible. And I guess, to your point, I'm just like thinking back to my life. Yeah, thus far, I'm always in a state of learning. I always place myself in an environment to learn. I love even just personally to be around people who can teach me and who I can teach. When that growth stops or that learning stops or there is not the pursuit of it, yeah, I'm out usually.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't work or I usually have outlearned or outgrown the environment or the dynamic. And I'm like, okay, this is where it does. It no longer serves me. Totally agree.
Yeah. It's like, this isn't fun anymore because I'm not getting my fuel from it.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Absolutely. And as I looked at your bio, it was like it really did highlight for me your passion for giving to others through nurturing. And so I'm curious, with all these years, literally a lifetime of coaching and mentoring and teaching,
yes,
what you see as the biggest mental blocks for creatives and artists of all sorts? What gets in the way of being fully expressed and playing big?
There's sort of two things that, in my own experience, I would say. One is my undealt with trauma, the hard stuff, the stuff that I don't want to face, the conversations I didn't have or didn't want to have or avoided, the hurt that was just too hurtful and I couldn't even face it. I couldn't bring it up. I couldn't talk about it. I have actually found so much more available to me when I deal with that stuff, when I face that stuff, when I have those hard conversations. I have found way more joy. I have found way more healing. I've found way more lucidity and creativity when I just faced it. It's similar to that bag in the corner that we just don't go through, right? Or, you know, you just don't go in that room. You don't sweep in there, mop in there, nothing, you know, the back of the closet that we don't touch. Those things are things I've been calling forth, literally and figuratively. I've been like, you know what? I done had enough. I done tripped over this bag so many times trying to plug the lamp in over there. What is in this bag, right? In unpacking, literally, that stuff, there were films that came that I didn't see possible. There were productions I've written. There are stories I have been just dreaming. There are ideas that have come that I didn't anticipate. I have given so much more of myself to my projects because I actually have space. I don't have that resentment or that pain, that hurt that's in here taking up, you know, because sometimes it could be, it's like those little headaches. Like it could be a little headache that's like right here, or it could take the whole front lobe, right? And it's like, dang, it's not going away. It's not going away. It's not going away. Like, what do I do? So for me, part one is being courageous enough to deal with that stuff. Because there's physical clutter and then there's emotional clutter. There is mental clutter that's in the way. It is in the way. You keep tripping over it. You keep repeating that same mistake, that habit. It's not going away. It's not going away. It's because we as humans, and it's hurtful stuff. Like, I'm not saying this is easy. It's very painful. However, I'm just like, you know, I'm not afraid. And I wrote this in my journal the other day. I'm really proud of myself that I'm not afraid to face the pain of what might be painful. Like, I am not afraid to face it. Because if I'm in, again, that same ethos of what will be, what will not be, won't. As I am in that facing, that courage space, that courage corner, everything for me will be revealed. And whatever reception or lack thereof that comes of it from the hard conversation or the hard whatever, then what will be, what won't, who will be, who won't. Like, I get answers. And that to me is more dear to me. That is more important to me than the pride of I'm okay, or, you know, I'm good. I don't need to. It's fine. It's fine. It ain't fine. It's not fine. It's going to get fine, though, because I'm going to get it fine. But it ain't fine. And this is how. And then that just furthers answers of what I like. It furthers and strengthens who I am. So that's part one.
Mm.
And part two for me is fear. Fear is false evidence appearing real. Mm-hmm. And I say it not as an expert. I say it as an impert, okay? Like, I'm in this with you.
That's my new favorite word.
I'm an impert, boo. I ain't no expert, okay? I'm an impert, okay? And I'm with you in this, trying to figure out this fear thing. It is false evidence appearing real. Emphasis on appearing. Uh-huh. The minute that you change something, whether it's something about yourself, something about where you're standing, something about what you're seeing, something about who you're talking to, the minute that that changes, everything changes. So I have been like, you know, I remember one time I was traveling to Mexico, and my grandmother, she's like, be careful, because I heard on the news that, you know, like, they're dying and they're shooting and they're robbing and they're stealing and they're this and they're that. All of that could very well be true. I was on a resort in a private place, wasn't nothing going on but the beach. I was like, I mean, but I'm sitting here having a pina colada that is fabulous. You know, it's like, perspective is something.
Yeah.
Because if you're not sitting in the experience presently, then you are going to think all kinds of things. But you could be actually in the experience and not be experiencing that at all.
Yeah.
So for me, I've been dancing also. So I've been dancing with trust, right? Like, mm-hmm. what does trust feel like? Like, trusting the spirit, trusting energy, God, like, okay, everything's going to align. Universe got me. I've also been dancing with being present, because then that allows me to trust. That allows me to let myself know this, my spidey sense is going off. This means this. So we're up. I need to change my environment. I need to change who I'm around, blah, blah, blah. And in that, like, little dance of being present, which is a big dance, it's a huge number. Mm-hmm. It's the finale. It's the production, actually. It's the production of present, okay? Starring me. In the production of being present, there's so many ways that I can declutter. Again, I can just let go. Because I'm like, oh, that actually is not what's currently playing. That's mm-hmm. not the piece we're on. That's not the scene I'm on. I'm not in that act right now.
Mm-hmm.
Versus me not being present and bringing all this other baggage with me that's actually not on this trip. That's why it's been work, though. I'm saying this, again, not as an expert. I'm an impert. I'm inside of it.
How empowering, though, to think that the way through is to do the hard work.
Isn't that something? That's the thing that really trips me up. Like, I was a math major at one point in college, and I'm just like, that's the hardest equation I've ever encountered. You know, and I done calculus 3'd it, okay? Like, I done some stuff, okay? And I'm like, isn't that something? That the only way, and they say it all the time, like, in order to go through it, you have to grow through it. It's just no way around it. And, you know,
straighten the knee.
Yeah, it's a straight knee. It's like, you have to straighten the knee if you want it to be straight. It's funny, too, because
the arms can look fabulous.
But if the knee ain't straight, nobody cared, honey. If the foot ain't pointed, you didn't do the step. That's just what that is. It's so funny. You know, we're in this season of gentle parenting. And I get that there is a way that we all were raised, that we all had been being raised that was toxic. There is a way that we were enduring some things that were just like, girl, what now? You know, and some of that stuff is even coming to light. Where you're looking around kind of like, wait a minute, you mean that wasn't okay? You mean I didn't want that? I remember my therapist said, a child can't have an appetite of an adult. And I'm like, thank you. That just like freed me of so much, because there was so much that we thought we were just supposed to just take and want, and we wanted it and we asked for it and we didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're in this phase where I feel like if we prevent our children from going through things, they're not going to grow. They're not growing, mm-hmm. right? So I get the knee-jerk reaction of wanting to prevent hurt. That is like savior of it all, right? That's the first thing you want to be to your child, to your friend, to your... loved one to yourself. Come on. Is like, oh no, I need to protect myself. Oh no, I don't want to feel that. I don't want them to go through what I went through. And I just find that that's a bit unrealistic. Like, we're going to fall. Like, we are. News alert. Hey, spoiler, you guys. Spoiler. Spoiler alert. In the next episode of your life, you're going to fall.
Yeah. You're going to need stitches. You're going to get fired.
Oh, my God. Like, the list goes on. It's like, hey, you're not going to have money today. You'll be all right. You know, like, hey, you're going to break your glasses, get surgery. Your hair's going to fall out. Yeah. Hey, you're not going to like the number.
You're going to lose someone you love.
You're going to lose someone you love. You're not going to like the number on the scale. Like, all of these things. Hey, spoiler alert. Like, coming at you live, you know, from, right. It's like, so, yeah, we have to have the courage to be like, yo, let's go. Like, strap up your boots. Let's do it. Come on. What else? Let's go. Let's go.
Let's go. Yeah. Now I'm that much stronger.
I am. Last year, I ruptured my Achilles. I'm like, whoa. And I wouldn't even do it.
It takes a long time to recover.
Tell me about it. Here I am. I wasn't even doing that much. So I was offended for like nine out of the 12 months. I've just been offended. And then I'm like, okay. But I realized, because I've like swung from freaking, don't even get me started on the things that I've done in my career performance wise. And I'm just like, this took me out. That's annoying. Okay, got it. With that though, I do see there was a part of me that was like mad that I'm like, girl, hey, things happen. You're not perfect. It's okay. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
I threw my back out sitting at my desk.
I threw my back out before too. Girl, don't even get me started. Exactly.
I was offended.
You're offended.
To your point.
It's offensive.
But then I remembered it wasn't from sitting at my desk in that one moment.
Right. It was from
everything
else. It was
thousands of other days.
Absolutely.
Just happened to culminate in that one moment.
That's correct. That's correct. That's correct. Absolutely.
So you've done so many big, brave things in your life.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you.
And this podcast is living proof that we can do big, brave things. What's the next big, brave thing for you, Charisma?
Let me start off by saying I do big, brave things scared, and I do them anyway. I lean into what scares me because that's the stuff, like you said, about like creating the always learning dynamic in our lives. I'm 99.9%. There's a chance I'm going to be doing something I'm scared to do, and I'm going to do it anyway. And so for me, filmmaking scares me, and it's something that I'll say one of the reasons it scares me is because there's nothing perfect about it, and I want it to be right so bad that then I have to surrender in real time. So I'm like having to coach myself while directing and, you know, is this good? Is this good? Action. You know, I'm like, literally, that's literally what's happening. So I'm like, is this good? Is it going well? Is it working? Is it working? Action. And I'm like, how am I able to say action still? You know, like, how am I able to still keep going? But that's not what's going on. And it's courage. It's just the courage to do so. It's the bravery, if you will. So for me, I've done short films. We won awards. We got into film festivals straight out the gate. I'm like super proud of my babies, my filmmaking baby, my film babies. And I want to do a feature. I feel very nervous about that. If I was playing it safe, it would be a documentary. If I did the brave thing, it would be a love story. And I'm like, I'm going to. I'm probably going to start.
I literally started to cry.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, because it's, you know, love is nuanced and it's something that I'm still learning. And it's something that I think all my childhood, all my adolescence, I thought by this big age, I would have the answer to. So for the last couple of years, I've had to surrender to the fact that I'm still in learning in that area, right? And it's not even that I'm talking about romantic love only. I'm talking about love of self. Like, I thought I would have the answer. The mathematician in me thought I would have this answer solved.
It would be solved.
Right. I love a good X equals, honey. Don't get me started. So in the solving of that, I am learning to release control so that I can just be in it instead of having an answer for it. Because when we try to have an answer for things, then we're in the doing and we're not in the being, which means we're not being present, right? Mm-hmm. The brave thing would be to tell a love story, even though I don't think I have the full answer. So that's what I'm going to challenge myself to do. I'm going to work on it being a short first. It's so funny too, because I have a really, I have such a great chosen circle of family. Like the people who I have strategically and emotionally and lovingly put in my circle are like top tier. And I'm really, really grateful for all of them. They know who they are, who know me, not know me as, because that's different. Mm-hmm. Know me, that's different. And the people who know me, they hold me accountable. So the other day I was like, oh, you know, I'm going to cast someone else in this film. And one of my really good friends, Maciel, was like, no, you're in the film. And we were talking about the love story film, right? And I'm like, no, I just want to direct. Like, I don't want to be acting in it because I've acted in several of my projects before. And I was just like, no, I really want. She's like, no, 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 no. She's absolutely right. That would be me not doing the brave thing. So we need those kind. We need those kind of people who know us and know us enough to say no. K-N-O-W.
That's how we stay stuck in the patterns. Correct. Is without that.
Correct. Yep. There's no and no, right? So that K-N-O-W. You know. No. No. We're not gonna We're not gonna let you do that. So the big brave thing I have coming.
I heard you when you said, this is what you envision. And I'm going to hold you true to your vision. I always say, and I don't know if you feel like this as a coach. I feel like as a coach, so much of my job is to be those bumpers in the bowling lane.
Yes.
To be like,
go this way a little bit.
This is where you said you were going. I thought you meant here.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because we get scared and then we're just like, ooh, I'm in a ditch.
All of us. Yeah. How do I get out? What do I need? What do I do?
That takes a lot of energy. Mm-hmm. So every guest on our show nominates another guest. Who inspires you that you want to nominate as an uplifter?
One of my really good friends, Candace, because she puts like the multi and multifaceted. And she is an advocate for artists and herself and her friends, her family, her child and her children to come, her husband. Like, I just watch her do so many things and also bring so many forward. She brings my name up in ways that I didn't even imagine. She brings me up in rooms I'm not in all the time. And she does it without needing any recognition. Sometimes I don't even know. She genuinely believes in me. I would also have to say in this moment, my mom. My mom does so much for so many. She is like everybody's mom. I lend her to so many people. And she uplifts me sometimes more than I see her do it for herself. I watch that even as coaches. We have that thing where, again, we know how to show up for others. And how do we do it for ourselves? So those two are women who are relentless in their love and support. And I stand on them and so many others' shoulders.
How amazing. I hope we get to meet them. They sound incredible. So as uplifters, to your point, we love to lift others up. How can we lift you up? Charisma.
Oh my goodness. What a great question. You better work. How can you lift me up?
Just picturing RuPaul now.
Exactly.
Fun fact, I saw RuPaul in concert in 1993.
Of course you did. That's
three songs. Was that three song club?
Come on, three songs. And they were.
But You Better Work was one of them.
Right. And it worked. Okay.
It worked.
I think we're in this social media time where you can be an influencer but not have influence, and you cannot be an influencer and have influence, which is interesting.
Yes, yes, yes.
And so I know strategically and analytically, in order to quote unquote appear like I have influence, I need numbers, I need views, I need likes, I need clicks, I need all of that. And as an artist, I'm actually in the field doing the art and doing the work. So I don't always have time, you know, I don't always have time, period. Uplifting me looks like that advocacy, and support, like liking the post, you know, sharing it, you know, telling a friend to tell a friend, connecting me to someone, not only today, but for the more days to come. It's just not enough to do what's immediate. We need to do what's long term in this game, because art is getting cut. Things are just, it's just a lot going on. And for me, when I make something, I've had in the past, people feel so uplifted by it and they're crying. All of that has happened in my experience, and that's not to take away from it. It just was fleeting, and it left me still at zero for the next project. You know, it didn't, it's like, okay, did you tell the person you know who has the power to put me into the rotation on TBS? Did you call your friend from Vogue to do a feature on my nonprofit, and then tell your friend at Essence, and then tell your friend at Ebony, and then tell your friend at Forbes? One is not enough.
I loved meeting you, and I can't wait to share your story. And
thank you. Thank you for having me.
I will, with so much integrity, like and share everything you do.
You better work.
I'm ready.
Listen, I was just telling my partner, I was like, you know, I really just appreciate the fact that when I share with you what I need, you go into overhaul of like, I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. That to me is so empowering. It really is. It's just like I said, oh, can you pick this up when you come in the house next time? And it's picked up. That's it. That's what we need more in the world. It's actually taking the intentional steps to help each other.
Yeah, it's caring enough to listen to what someone needs without editing through our own lens of fear.
Exactly. And then getting to work. I need to do.
Yeah, more than ever.
Thank you for doing all that you're doing. Just even the seed that you're planting. We need upliftment. That's more of what we need. Like, actually,
there's plenty to drag us down.
Correct. Even in the work that I do, I really have been working hard to stay true to like the wholesomeness of my work. I don't need it to be toxic for it to be entertainment. I don't need for it to bring people down. I actually am not interested in driving on the street with people who consume toxic stuff. I'm not interested in hiring them. I'm not interested in being around them, them being my neighbors. I am more interested in people who are uplifted. I need them to be uplifted as I am in my pursuit of upliftment. So I'm like, yeah, let's squabble up. That's what this feels like. It's like, get the squad together, because we all are not okay with how it's been going, and we're doing something about it.
Everything around us says the only thing that thrives is controversy. And you're saying, I don't want to be surrounded with those who need controversy.
It's actually not my truth.
In order to pay attention.
All right. It's not my truth. And like I said, I unpacked all my controversy. I deal with it. Once you take away like the edge on stuff, it's like, it's just wholesome. It's like, it's so funny. It's like, it's organic food. It's like, once you take away the chemicals, like,
yes,
the pesticides, like, have you ever bit into an heirloom tomato? Like an organic heirloom tomato? Like, guys, are you kidding?
It's different.
It's different, babe. It's wholesome. It's fulfilling. It literally breathes life for generations.
Yes. Yes.
At first, it used to offend me. And now I just find it funny. Like, if our films or any of my projects, like, don't get chosen for things, and then I see, like, some toxic stuff get chosen, I'm just like, girl, I'm not controversial.
Not my place.
I'm courageous. There's a difference.
Thank you. That's my new tagline for this show.
There's a difference.
Not controversy. Correct. I mean, that is really it.
That's it. That's all. It's like, you know, we could be loving. That could be joyful. It could change the world.
Radical.
Yeah, it's very radical. It's radical to be loving.
Yeah.
Isn't that something? To like not have drama? Like even with some of my friends, some of my relationships, it's always just like, oh, you don't know how to be loved. That's real. Mm-hmm. That's real. Mm-hmm. You've never been loved before. Got that.
And I feel for you, but I don't need that in my life.
No, I can't teach you that. I actually am not responsible for you knowing how to be loved. I'm responsible for how to love you. Mm-hmm. I'm not responsible
for knowing how to love myself.
And knowing how to love myself. I'm not responsible for teaching you how to be loved. Nah, that's a you job. Listen, shout out to us. Shout out to you. Shout out to like choosing the positive and wholesome way to do things. Shout out to healing and actually being healed. Shout out to love and loving in return.
Yeah. And we learned this by example. You learned it from your mother. Correct. Learned from the people in your community. Correct. And now you get to share it here with these people. And we all get stronger the more time we spend together. It's, the science shows that we are the sum total of the people we spend the most time with.
That's it.
As we surround ourselves with love. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Uplifters podcast. If you're getting a boost from these episodes, please share them with the Uplifters in your life. And then join us in conversation over at theuplifterspodcast.com. Head over to Spotify, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast and like, follow, and rate our show. It'll really help us connect with more Uplifters. And it'll ensure you never miss one of these beautiful stories. Mwah! Big love.
Painted water sunshine with rosemary and thyme. Dwell in the perplexing, though you find it vexing. Toss a star and hover, be your own best lover. Relish in a new prime, plant a tree in springtime. Dance with idle hindsight, bring the sun to twilight. Lift you up, whoa. Lift you up, whoa. Lift you up, whoa. Lift you up. Lift you up, whoa.
In the pre-chorus, right?
I was like, "Mommy, stop crying! Mommy, stop crying! You're disturbing the peace."